Hello, everybody, and welcome to the history of actor training in the British Drama School. This week, we're going to record the first of two special podcasts celebrating the 60th anniversary of the founding of East 15 Drama School, or at least the first year of East 15 working as a drama school. On Wednesday, I'm going to interview Philip Headley, CBE, theatre director. Philip Headley was in the first cohort. He was one of the first students at East 15. He was in that first year. So I can't wait to talk to him about East 15 and what it was like. And I think Philip will talk to us about the roots of his exploration in seeing a production of Joan Littlewood's. And subsequently, Philip, I think I'm right in saying, taught at East 15 and also was what I think we would now call an artistic director of the Theatre Royal Stratford East, which was the theatre made famous in the middle of the 20th century by Joan Littlewood. So before we do that, I'd just like to sort of set the scene a little bit by reading you a couple of things. One rather good, I think, version of the journalist goes to the drama school genre. There are many of these. I did think actually about reading you one about Ben Greet. Maybe I will, certainly at some point. But anyway, it's not at all unusual for journalists to go to drama schools and have a look around and write interviews. There are lots of these if you search through archives and newspapers. This one I think is really good. I think it's a really well-written piece, and I think it probably gives a very useful taste of what East 15 was like in 1962. So the article I'm going to read from the Times Literary Supplement dates from 1962. I'll also read you a sort of a simpler announcement in The Stage from 1961. East 15 is a school which is close to my heart. The head of voice there, Christina Gutekunst, gave me my first job when I moved over from Ireland 20 years ago, I think. And it's a school I teach at now. So yes, happy birthday, East 15. Just before we get to the meat of the podcast, it's probably a good idea for me to mention that there are three ways for you to support them if you enjoy them. One way is to write me an email at robertprice1869@gmail.com. That's robertprice1869@gmail.com. Lovely to receive emails, thoughts for further podcasts. Somebody quite rightly pointed out that we haven't really covered at all, actually, the drama school in the north of England. So I'm going to think about that. Thank you for that observation. So yeah, drop me a line, and if you have dropped me a line and I haven't got back to you yet, apologies, I will. The other way to support the podcast is by writing a review. As I understand it, that's particularly helpful in terms of finding new listeners, people who are searching. So that would be great. Any of the platforms that host the podcast, that would be wonderful. And the third way is to support the podcast financially. They cost a little bit of money to make and maintain, so that would be hugely gratefully received. So on with the podcast. So East 15. So East 15 began in its life in 1961. We're going to find out lots more interesting details from Philip. But so in August of that year in The Stage, this article appeared: East 15 Acting School and East End Theatre School, to be called East 15 Acting School, starts in October at the Royal Stratford, East 15. And the Mansfield House University Settlement, Fairbairn Hall, East 13. It's been started by Margaret Berry and Jean Newlove. So Margaret Berry and Jean Newlove were the two crucial figures in the foundation of East 15, according to this article, who have both worked with Joan Littlewood in the North and at Stratford for a number of years. And the basis of the school will be to train actors in theatre workshop methods. By founding the school in the East End, it is hoped to draw students from that area. It is planned to tour London schools with productions of classics, starting with a Christmas play and Twelfth Night, which was Theatre Workshop's first production at the Royal Stratford. The Royal Stratford, I think, is the Theatre Royal Stratford East, but perhaps at this point it's known as the Royal Stratford. Student performances will also be given on Sunday nights at the Royal. Student performances on Sunday nights. So these are all things we'll be able to talk to Philip about. I suppose two things just to mark. Firstly, East 15 is founded on the theatre workshop principles of Joan Littlewood. And secondly, it's situated in the East End and hopes to draw students from that area. A little bit later, there was an article about scholarships. I just think this is interesting in terms of debates we have, still have, ongoing debates about equity and inclusion and access and representation. So interesting to note that at the beginning, East 15 School, a scholarship worth £300 is to be awarded to the four most promising actors and actresses from the East End of London for the two-year training course at Theatre Workshop's new East 15 Acting School. Interesting, it's called an acting school, not a drama school, not a conservatoire. Auditions for these scholarships will be held during the last 2 weeks in September, so kind of now, 60 years ago, at the Theatre Royal Stratford. Margaret Berry, director of the school, hopes that local firms and organisations may be able to join in the plans of awarding scholarships to EastEnders wanting to work in the professional theatre. The Local Education Authority of West Ham has already recommended that talented students be given grants. Sir Ian Horobin, warden of Mansfield House University Settlement, I'm not sure what that is, Mansfield House University Settlement, has arranged for the school to use his premises with its excellent facilities, including a beautifully equipped small theatre. Evening lectures will be given at the Theatre Royal Stratford, and Sunday night performances to the Theatre Royal Club have already been scheduled. The first student production of a Christmas play will be given in December at the Mansfield House Theatre and to Sunday night club audiences at Stratford East 15. Can't wait to talk to Philip to find out if he was a part of these performances. And I suppose we should say thank you to Sir Ian Horobin. Not sure whether he's a much remembered figure, who was the warden who arranged for the school to use his premises. So there isn't actually much in the press, but those two articles cover the founding of the school and, interestingly, the establishment of these scholarships. So this is from the Times Educational Supplement, Friday, December the 28th, 1962. It's a brilliant article. I get a real sense of sympathy from our special correspondent. I wonder who that is. And there are great photographs. It's hard to know which one to use. The central photograph is brilliant. It shows actors fencing, and they're definitely fencing rather than doing what now we would call stage combat. But they're fencing in a school playground deep in the East End. There's a sort of wider shot of washing hanging out and sort of gloomy, smoggy trees. It's really great. Anyway, this is the article itself. So a year after the foundation of the school. In London's East End, beside the Barking Road, is a new school of acting that is likely to play an important part in the future of the English theatre. It's the offspring of the Theatre Workshop and has as its principal Mrs. Margaret Berry, who was with the Theatre Workshop Company from 1946 through its early struggles for survival, touring Britain and Europe on a precarious budget, to its establishment and success in Stratford East. Maybe we should do a whole podcast about Joan Littlewood, because Joan Littlewood obviously clearly has this huge influence on East 15, but also was mentioned sort of explicitly by the founders of the Drama Centre, and of course has had an effect on all kinds of people. So maybe if we're tracking the history of the drama school, we should at some point hone in on Joan Littlewood. Penny Churns, who I interviewed a few weeks ago, was Joan Littlewood's assistant for a period. Interesting stories in that podcast. So, anyway, yes, Joan Littlewood. To the new acting school, which started in the autumn of last year, she has brought her share of the enthusiasm and dedication and a command of the theory and techniques of acting that have made Theatre Workshop famous all over Europe. Her teaching is, basically, the rejection of easy techniques and gimmicks and a return to the touchstone of life itself in every word that is spoken, in every movement that is made on the stage. The aim is simple. The actor must learn to channel all his resources of voice and movement to its achievement. Mrs. Berry's assistants, experts in the various subjects that form an actor's equipment, are working in agreement towards this end. The school has attracted instructors known to be rebels against established ideas, yet here their views seem to have become welded into a common purpose. It's good journalism, this, isn't it? We're in the hands of somebody who gets it. The little subheading is Workaday Background. Like its parent theatre, the school is surrounded by the workaday life of Plaistow, enjoying the association for its own part, while the people of the neighbourhood, after months of watching their strange invaders with some astonishment, seem now to have accepted them as part of the scene. The premises are in Mansfield House University Settlement, which also houses two boys' clubs and a number of further education activities. The students' fencing practice takes place in a yard marked out for netball, watched on Wednesday afternoons by small children who have been left to play on swings and chutes in another part of the yard while their mothers attend a sewing class. I feel like somebody northern has written this. Chutes is swings, I suppose. Slides. They must have been called chutes. And the description of it as a yard. I don't know. I wonder. Interesting. While their mothers attend a sewing class. Next door, a rag and bone man stables his horse. Like Stepton Son, interestingly. Harry Corbett, of course, was an actor who starred in... I must be more clear, mustn't I? I'm always assuming that everybody is precisely my age and background and knows what I'm talking about. So, an actor called Harry Corbett was in a very famous, very brilliant television series called Steptoe and Son, which was about a rag and bone man. Rag and bone men being people who would go around with a horse and cart collecting scrap metal, bits and pieces of things for recycling. There you go. It used to be done on horseback. How green was that? How resilient was that? There's a picture in the article of the rag and bone man and his horse. So we're getting a real, I sort of want to, forgive me if I start drifting into a more sort of East End accent. I feel drawn towards it. So I'll just let that happen if it happens. The theatre at the top of the building is reached from the yard by an iron fire escape, which commands a panorama of washing lines and grey houses. The theatre is in constant use. Mrs. Burry, Berry Maggie Berry. Mrs. Berry believes in working wherever possible for presentation to an audience. Even the scenes produced by group work are performed to the whole school at the end of the term. Kind of normal. Well, no, not quite normal practice, I suppose. Drama schools normally open up their work in stages. Full-length plays are presented to outside audiences. Last year's Twelfth Night was taken on a tour of the local schools. Definitely going to talk to Philip about this Twelfth Night. And the present first-year company is planning to do the same with Love's Labour Lost. Interesting choice for a school's tour. The second years are rehearsing Chekhov's Three Sisters for presentation at the Theatre Royal Stratford East. The school's tour is a sort of part, a little part of the drama school. One of the last things I directed at Lambda was a school's tour of Twelfth Night. Wonderful production, brilliant cast. I think we had a really good and interesting time. I wonder if it started here. I wonder if this is the beginnings of that tradition. I have no idea. I watched part of the first rehearsal of the Three Sisters. The hall was dark with lights on the stage and the students were using their scripts. The girls wore full-length practice skirts so that they could be used to moving around in long dresses. Seated on the edge of the stage, Mrs. Berry directed the action. Here. The practice skirt, there could be a little micro-history of the practice skirt. I wonder if they're using the practice skirts that were developed and sort of invented by Motley, the designers known collectively as Motley, for Michel Saint-Denis. Richard Addison, I hope you're listening. So practice skirts. Attention was focused on the play itself rather than its presentation to an audience. It's a first performance. Keep it small and keep it Welsh, she told an actor who was repressing his accent. Don't think about the audience. Again, interesting in terms of voices and accents and Joan Littlewood and Theatre Workshop and East 15, a history I don't know about, but fascinating. "I'll be back in an hour," says Tusenbach, as he makes an excuse to leave Arena and fight a duel. She has scented trouble, and he reassures her. At first, the student playing Tusenbach tossed off the words lightly and carelessly. "If you say it like that, she won't believe you," Miss Berry interposed. "Convince her. You must convince her. You love her, and you want her to be reassured." They feel their way into the life of the play, relate dramatic reality to the reality of personal experience, learning to translate intellectual understanding into physical terms. Mrs. Berry spoke of the difficulty some find in doing this, which may be due to the intellectual nature of their education up to the time they came to the school. A student might have a fine intelligence, but very little sensual understanding of warmth, feel, or texture. What can be done about this? "We get them stroking hair and silk, or eating melons," she said. More formally, the physical side of acting is learnt in a course of movement analysis directed by Miss Jean Newlove. So movement analysis by Jean Newlove, this is, of course, similar to the work of the Drama Centre, who trains the Theatre Workshop Company. Stanislavski's An Actor Prepares is the textbook for the first year, after which other methods are studied and compared. The whole syllabus divides into five general courses: principles of acting, movement, literature, social studies, including history of the theatre, and production, including set and costume design, and stage management. Within this framework, plans are kept flexible and adapted to the needs of each set of students. This is possible because of the small number. There are now 19 first-year students and 15 in their second year. So 15, four of which are on considerable grants. Interesting. And it's planned to keep roughly to these numbers, taking on 20 new students each year. The course lasts 3 years. Maybe it already extended to 3 years. And at the end of the first, anyone who is clearly not going to be an actor is asked to leave, this being the sort of pattern at the time. This paragraph is beautiful, beautifully written, and really quite shocking, I think, given what we maybe think about the drama school 60 years ago. In the general informality, I did not get the impression of passive learning. It was more as though the teachers and the taught had pooled their resources of experience and imagination and were working with an adventurous kind of enthusiasm towards a common goal. The newness of the school may be one reason for this. Another is an attitude shared by the staff, a willingness to experiment, make mistakes, and learn from the students as well as teaching them. Well, that's the sort of thing that one reads in terms of a description of a very contemporary approach to teaching and learning. That's, I think, what would be called something like constructive pedagogy. Fascinating. I'm fascinated. Back to the article. Anarchy within conformity was the state envisaged in forming the school. I was quickly aware of the students as individuals, thinking for themselves, questioning everything. Controversy inevitably breaks out from time to time within the school, as when Dr. Bertram Joseph, who we met with Stephen Macht, and again, we'll definitely do a podcast about. Dr. Bertram Joseph is a forgotten figure, I think, in the world of Shakespeare education, not academically as an acting teacher. Anyway, so Dr. Bertram Joseph has popped around, who comes once a week from Bristol University to direct Shakespeare studies, arrived on November the 13th to meet a burst of enthusiasm about Mr. Paul Scofield's Lear at Stratford-upon-Avon. He agreed that as acting goes, the performance was brilliant, but, he said, shaking his head sadly, it just isn't Shakespeare's Lear. And he proceeded to illustrate his point with reference to the text. He added that Mr. Scofield spoke verse for the most part in a monotone, like prose. This may have been the result of his character image of the king. It was as if an opera singer had formed a character image of a man who was tone deaf and sang the role accordingly. Dr. Joseph bases his course on an adaptation of Elizabethan methods of acting and reading drama to the individual needs of the modern actor. From the researches and experience of teaching and directing that produced his books on these methods, he is convinced of their soundness, and furthermore, he says they agree in principle, as well as on superficial points of detail, with what is taught in the rest of the East 15 school. With him, the students make a close study of one or two plays in relation to the Elizabethan acting tradition, so that they shall know the meaning and all the nuances of every word spoken by the characters they play, and be able to apply the experience gained in this way to other plays of the same period. So Bertrand Joseph, and again, Philip will be able to hopefully talk about that. Bel Canto. Another controversial figure on the staff is Mr. Julian Gardiner, who is in charge of voice training. The method he teaches is that used in Italian schools of singing until the beginning of this century, known as bel canto. It was used by nearly all the great pre-war singers and actors, but it is, he says, in direct conflict with the so-called forward production methods used by most contemporary singing teachers. Miss Daphne Hurd, formerly senior instructress at the Bristol Old Vic, holds the same position here. So there's a senior instructress called Daphne Hurd. Julian Gardiner is doing voice. Bertrand Joseph, who also, by the way, teaches at Lambda, was one of Christian Linklater's influences, is teaching Shakespeare. Amazing. Mr. Daphne Hurd, formerly senior instructress at the Bristol Old Vic, holds the same position here. With her, the students work on an overall study of Shakespeare, acting chosen scenes from the plays they study and interpreting the characters they play in relation to what they know from reading the rest of the play. Okay. Among the students, there's a large East London contingent. Others come from different parts of Britain and include a debutante and a former Sandhurst cadet. There are students from Canada, Jamaica, British Guyana, Australia, Singapore and New York. The international school. When rumour of the school's formation got around, most of them applied through the theatre workshop and were selected by audition. The strongest attraction seems to have been the idea of a very practical course, closely linked with the theatre itself. Some students work at the Theatre Royal in the evenings, both behind scenes and in walk-on parts, for which they are paid the full rate. For some, this has been an important aid to survival. Financially, the first year was a struggle. The school awarded 4 free places, but some of the students had to earn extra money as well as studying. Now, however, the position is improving steadily as more and more local education authorities get to know about the work of the school and award grants to students from their areas. That's the end of the article. I think rather a fine article. Maybe, because this will be a fairly short podcast, maybe I'll read you a description of somebody visiting Ben Greet's school. We haven't really spoken about Ben Greet's School of Acting, so maybe a bonus. That concludes our celebration of East 15, but if you want to hang around, have a listen to this. So this is from a newspaper called The Sketch, October the 10th, 1900. Mr. Ben Greet's Acting Academy. So 60 years before the special correspondent pops along to East 15, a journalist called FD, doesn't give his name, whoever FD was who wrote for The Sketch, pops in to see Ben Greet. This is the article. This, of course, is before the foundation of RADA as ADA and Central. So Ben Greet was there before. A busy man is Mr. Ben Greet. He has a dozen companies on tour, and in one of them, which is concerned with Shakespeare and old comedy, he usually acts himself. One of the last men who might be expected to undertake the task of teaching the art of acting to others, except in the ordinary course of stage management. Mr. Greet has, nevertheless, carried on for 3 years past a dramatic school, which exists almost entirely on his own personal tuition. So this isn't really an institution. This is almost within the territory of guru teaching. I was driven to it, Mr. Greet explained to me over a hurried lunch at Pagini's, by the horde of stage aspirants who at one time almost overwhelmed me. It seemed to me that a school was my very best protection against the scores of girls and young fellows who came expecting me to give them an immediate engagement without knowing the ABC of acting. Now I can say to them, well, if you want me to give you an engagement, you must show me what you can do and take some lessons in the business. I had a little rehearsal theatre above my office in Bedford Street, Strand, and this I turned to account for my school. So we're in the Strand, Bedford Street. Even in the case of the most talented aspirants, a course of lessons from Mr. Bengreet must save the stage managers of the companies they first enter an infinity of trouble at rehearsals. Mr. Greet's method of instruction, in fact, as I have seen for myself that morning, is simply that of a stage manager at rehearsal. He does not believe in elocution lessons or preliminary work of that kind, which is likely to produce stiffness and artificiality. If stage aspirants have the necessary talent, all the training they want is of the kind which in the old days of the stock company was so constantly given to young actors and actresses at rehearsal. What Mr. Greet does, therefore, at the beginning of a term, is to take a good play, distribute the characters as well he can among the pupils, and rehearse it just as though it were to be produced in the ordinary way. Now and again, indeed, the pupils do give public performances in St. George's Hall. The rehearsals are held twice a week for 2 hours, and Mr. Greet seldom misses one, although he may have to travel from Manchester or some equally distant place on tour and back in the day. When at an impracticable distance, his place is taken by some competent actor friend. So 2 hours twice a week, if you're at the Bengreet School. Hardly exactly a drama school, but interesting in terms of what there was. The play this morning is Twelfth Night. Ah, Twelfth Night. The rehearsal begins at 11:30, and by 1:30, the fourth scene of the second act is reached. Although the play is taken thus slowly, I find the time far from tedious. Mr. Bengreet's method of teaching proving of great interest, even to the onlooker. It is not simply a running commentary upon the articulation, the gesture and tone of each pupil's performance. It is, incidentally, an informing little lecture upon Twelfth Night and Shakespeare's stage traditions, as well as some of the essential principles of good acting, illustrated by several little bits of dramatic speech and deportment on Mr. Greet's own part. About a dozen pupils are engaged, of whom only five are young men. Mr. Greet does not care to take more than a dozen in hand at one time, and as a rule, he forms each term two separate classes, although some of the pupils like to join both. One or two scenes reveal great disparity in the success with which the pupils respond to Mr. Greet's tuition, such as is not fully explained by the fact that, whereas with some this is their first term, with others it's their second or even third. Several pupils of both sexes display considerable talent, but, on the other hand, more than one seems quite wanting in aptitude of voice or manner. Mr. Greet afterwards confided to me that one of his greatest difficulties was to dispose of the unfit. That's a brutal phrase. To dispose of the unfit. Hopeless incompetency generally declares itself to him after the first or second lesson, but it sometimes takes two or three more before broad hints on the subject have effect. There was one young lady whose enunciation you must have noticed this morning, he added. I have already told her that she is not suitable for Shakespeare, but might succeed in the ballet, and offer to return the fees she had paid. But it's no good. Cool. Over 200 pupils have already passed through Mr. Greet's school to the stage. Nearly all obtained their first appearances in his provincial companies, but many have drifted elsewhere, and some are doing well on the London boards. Bengreet has been gone for a while, so I don't think I'm going to offend him. Seems interesting to identify people's weaknesses and to say that therefore they should take up the ballet, but not to believe in any kind of training apart from the practice of rehearsal. Bit of an irony there, Mr. Greet, perhaps? Anyway, never mind. Because that's the thing about training, certain kinds of training. It becomes potentially, at its best, it becomes a force for very positive change. It can potentially give people who might not succeed or work or be able to express themselves the means by which they can do that. Anyway, there we go. Two very different drama schools, Mr. Greet's Academy in 1900, Margaret Berry's drama school, East 15, Margaret Berry and Jean Newlove's drama school, East 15, in 1962. So, yes, look forward to interviewing Philip on Wednesday, Philip Headley, and sharing that podcast with you. And yeah, finally, happy anniversary, East 15. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. All keeping well. See you soon. Bye.